Hey, this is Pete Tsironis with Dots and Bridges, and I am here with my colleague, Jeff Mercurio, Strategic Partnership Coordinator at On Point Consulting. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, Pete. How are you doing? I'm great.
Awesome to hear your voice, man. And I'm looking forward to our chat today. For our audience, just to set the tone, Jeff and I were both in attendance at the AI Expo for National Competitiveness. It was held May 7th to 8th in Washington, D.C. at the Convention Center. It was hosted by the Special Competitive Studies Project, first ever AI Expo for National Competitiveness. And it was, which I thought was cool, alongside the second annual Ash Carter Exchange on Innovation and National Security, of which AI is a big piece of that. So we're going to dive in and talk a little bit about what we took away, what we learned, what we saw, and kind of where we think this can go. So Jeff, let's start there. For me, I loved everything from just the physical layout of the environment. I mean, the ability to just talk to so many people, yes, about AI, but around the mission, and to see so many federal agencies there, I was awfully impressed. What is your initial reaction now it's a week out?
Yeah, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. First, I mean, this was a massive crowd. I heard one of the speakers note that there were 13,000 attendees. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but I wouldn't be surprised. There were a lot of people. It was very dense, which is always great to have more people to meet and all that. But I mean, yeah, there's an extensive list of AI companies, big name and small name. Google and Meta were there. There was Army and drone technology demos that were going on in the room, and very, very interesting to see what is happening now, what's already been happening, and to physically see it and have somebody talk about it instead of rather than a panel or something that talks about something that you can't really conceptualize, right? For instance, these Army drones, which were incredible, tiny little pieces of technology that are absolutely going to be pivotal in military and how we do things in the military. But in general, yeah, it was great to just walk right up to the federal employees and ask them questions and talk to them about them, get to know them and learn more about their agency directly by walking up and talking to them.
Yeah, I will say too that for me, being a former DOE guy, literally federal employee, there was just an amazing slate of speakers on both days, and the demonstrations of AI for microelectronics or large language models or generative AI. And I'm just recalling some of these topics, nuclear reactors, the role that AI is playing in the support of mission, Jeff, is what I know we both talk about as the purpose. And for me, this week, it's Critical Infrastructure Week or Infrastructure Week. It highlights just how is our nations, how are the nation's most critical sectors, which are aging, improving and becoming more resilient. And I just heard a lot of that last week, talking to water sector companies, to folks who are dealing with air quality. And of course, we had our smattering of NIST folks in the AI framework. And it was just, to me, a great assemblage, if you will, of folks focused on mission. And it wasn't so much AI in my face, like AI and large language models and wondering what people mean by certain things, but how it's all going to support our country and our federal government.
I will say too, a lot of the talks, like you said, it wasn't really necessarily about AI. It was about the things surrounding AI that will contribute to increasing the capacity of an agency's mission, such as training, understanding, and getting these AI policies in place and all those kinds of things. And so it was great. One of my favorite sessions was called Building AI Literacy Across the U.S. Government. And there are a few speakers, but in particular, Garrett Bernstein. He's the deputy CDAO, the chief data and AI officer at Department of State. He mentioned a really cool quote. I mean, it's simple, but it was powerful. He said, there's a need to know how things work and how things don't work. And that just struck me because he was trying to highlight how we should dive head into training employees to learn how AI works, but also learn what you're not supposed to do and how it will mess up if you use it in a different way, that kind of thing. So I thought that was really interesting. And another really good quote in that same panel was by Kathleen Kennedy at MIT. And she mentioned, this is a great analogy. Not everyone needs to know how to build a car, just how to use a car and to follow the rules of the road. And in that case, the building would be like an AI developer, but the using the car is just you have this technology at your fingertips and you can use it as you please. You don't need to know how the engine runs, but you definitely need to know how to drive. So that was a really powerful analogy for me where it was, okay, and that's AI democratization, right? That's what that word is when now the public has this access to these incredibly advanced models to do whatever they want, right? And generate images for fun or whatever. But it's important to know how to use these things.
A technology that I knew about, but to see it in action, whether it was to model and simulate a city or a car in your example, or a nuclear reactor. I mean, digital twins, digital twinning, and it was to me the practical application that this symposium stuck with me, and I'm excited. I wish they would do it more often than once a year, and I hope they come back. You know, for our audience, I just want to emphasize, Jeff, you know, you're hitting on some really cool applications of and what you saw. You know, we've got to mention that, you know, there's been a lot of movement in the government in terms of requirements and capabilities and guidance. We all know about Executive Order, I believe it was 14110 that came out in October. That was followed by, preceding that was the AI Risk Management Framework that NIST published in January of 2023. But recently in March, the Advancing Governance, Innovation, and Risk Management for Agency Use of AI came out March 28th, OMB Memorandum 24-10. That's the one that I think is hitting on some of the things that I found very relevant at this conference. And those three, I call them, pillars: strengthening AI governance, advancing responsible AI innovation, and managing risks from the use of AI. Being a Beltway guy, Jeff, when you think about those three pillars, because I know you've looked at this, how much of that is the discussion you're having with some of your customers, or what is that conversation you're having, you know, which is always evolving with those that you support at OnPoint? Is it more about compliance, or is it about how can we, beyond governance, really move the needle on innovation?
That's a great question. And I have to say, this wouldn't have been my answer before going to the AI Expo. But after going, the main theme throughout pretty much all of the sessions that I went to, I even had somebody explicitly say it at one point, is people.
Mm.
People are the theme. And they're the connection between those three pillars: the governance, the training, the risk management, all that stuff. We have to start with the people, because that is where everything starts, right? And it sounds silly to say that, but it's like, you do have to go down to the individual level and figure out what you need to do at every individual level to build up these new policies, right? And these new guidelines. And not only that, but hopefully, or maybe not hopefully, but eventually maybe we'll have these actually hard set guidelines, right? Probably not, because AI is always changing, but we're in the process of trying to figure out what we need to manage, right? One of those being risk right now, because we see that AI can pose a lot of risk. And where do we go to manage that risk at the bottom level? At least from some of these panels I was watching, was going to the people and learning about their capabilities, their understanding, and then building up from there.
Yeah, that struck me as well, because I keep coming back to this: how is it going to help the public good? How is it going to support those societal challenges? Reducing food insecurity is one that I heard a lot about when I was there. You know, obviously addressing the climate crisis. I was talking to some folks from NOAA, I think National Weather Service, just, you know, the amount of data that we can collect and aggregate and then start to make sense of and apply some of the AI and the modeling techniques to give us those predictive and prescriptive insights. You know, I even heard and talked to some folks about, you know, how AI is helping folks, you know, apply for grants and find one that really retrofits to their needs and their expertise. And that to me is part of the needle that moves to kind of spur the innovation, but also be responsible. Was there a particular, like, in your case, like tool or was there a, you know, I saw a lot of OEMs there in terms of equipment manufacturers. I thought something that was really, really cool for me was seeing some precision medicine with the National Science Foundation of how AI was being applied to the simulation of how, I believe it was, blood flows through certain, you know, organs and or cells. But it was just mind-blowing to see. But what was something that stuck with you that got you excited to go tell your friends and family about?
I mean, I think it was kind of that drone technology that I mentioned earlier. I wish I could remember more about the actual session itself, because I was just walking by and saw the demo and had to just stay and watch. It was basically just showing the precision of these very small, compact little helicopters. That's what they looked like, flying around, you know, in a protected area, actually demonstrating the use of the interface with the actual person themselves, right? So you could see them, and they have this like screen on their chest, and that's how they control the drone. So that was my first question. I was like, how is this person controlling this piece of technology? And it's just like this embedded screen on a little pack on their chest. And so that already answers one of my questions about how kind of the military would embed this kind of technology to use it. So the idea is that there would be a drone per soldier, and that you can use it to scope out areas and check to see if there's safety in specific areas or not, as opposed to risking the life of a human.
Yeah, it's the, again, there's a wearable technology. You can call it IoT. You can, unmanned aerial vehicles, UA. I mean, that's awesome. I saw, I believe, that demo, but it was kind of at first like, where do I start? And I just started working my way down. But it was awesome to see the speakers. And I mean, I think the Deputy Secretary of Energy was just walking around. I'm like, oh my God, there's David Turk, you know? And it was just like, everybody was like a kid in a candy store seeing all the vision in the future. And it's just nice to see that this event really, really brought the community together. So, before we do a parting shot, because again, this is meant for us and us to kind of swap some notes. And for those who didn't attend, you know, I'm sure you can look still online. I was online the other day, just still looking at the agenda, and there's just so many names and contacts of people. But, you know, Jeff, how do you go to an event like that and come back as the on point dude and think about when you're out doing BD or when you're talking to some feds? So, you know, how does this knowledge you gleaned, whether it's around that devices or the workforce, how do you personally apply that to your role at On Point?
That's a good question. I mean, since this was the first conference of its kind, I was kind of unsure of that strategy going in. But I think the way I'm applying it now in retrospect is just understanding the depth. Like, I know some people think we're far away from AI, but the truth is we are not. It's happening all the time, and it's growing every day. If you didn't hear about it already, ChatGPT just came out with a new version of ChatGPT. It's called ChatGPT 4.0 or something like that. So it's always going, you know what I mean? And that does different things, and it's better than the last. So I think that this conference really drove home the point of, look, we really do AI. These are the ways we do it, or this is why we're interested. And I mean, in particular, I had a really great conversation on the way out of day two, where I met Elizabeth Weber, who's a program director at NSF. And I mean, it was very serendipitous for another reason, because it turns out she also went to NIH and got a neuroscience PhD and knew the people that I knew. And so that was really cool and serendipitous. I think it was a great conversion of science and technology and government or business in general. But it was just a really great opportunity to talk directly to somebody who's at one of our target agencies and at an agency that I just personally am really interested in because of my scientific background.
I appreciate that. And again, being a neuroscience biologist who also knows IT and is really, really adapting to this beltway like you are, Jeff, kudos to you, man. I love talking to you because you are an academic, but you also are a storyteller and you like to learn and tap into that curiosity. So Let's close this out with, I'm just going to give a parting shot to our audience, because you brought something up that emphasizes, or should I say, addresses something I'm reading. I get asked, hey, what are you reading these days? I'm like, well, I read Napoleon Hill. I may rereading The Tipping Point, but I am actually reading an AI risk management framework document that is an initial public draft, NIST AI 600-1. And it's a generative, artificial intelligence profile. And to your point, I'm going to keep encouraging our audience, you got to read, you got to track what the government's pushing out. They're looking for feedback and commentary, for example, on these drafts. And, you know, I just think the more we can contribute as a community, the sooner we'll realize those effects and impacts in a positive way, God willing, regarding AI. But why don't you close this out with a parting shot, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, in general, the conference was awesome. I met many, many people, both industry and government. I'm really excited to see if they do it again next year and how much bigger it will likely be. And it kind of popped up out of nowhere for me. And Pete, you were actually the one that told me about it. So thank you for letting me know, putting it on our radar, and definitely hope to see you at the next one.
Absolutely, brother. And I'm sure you and I will be talking about this over the course of the year at events we'll be at together. But Big Jeff, thank you for your time, and I look forward to our next chat, pal.
Sounds good, Pete. Me too. Thanks for having me.
You bet.